out another immense strike on Kyiv during the talks. Trump did find time to twice wrongly accuse President Biden of having given $350 billion in aid to Ukraine. The actual figure is half that. In other news, Trump's budget bill eliminates many overseas vaccine programs. Part and parcel with the systematic elimination of vaccine programs and health research in the U.S., the Trump administration is doing the same with international vaccine programs. The Times reports that Trump's budget, quote, proposes to eliminate the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Global Health Unit, effectively shutting down its $230 million immunization program, $180 million for polio eradication, and the rest for measles and other vaccine-preventable diseases. The budget plan also withdraws financial support for Gavi, the International Vaccine Alliance that purchases vaccines for children in developing countries. Overall, the budget request explicitly follows Trump's America First policy, slashing funds for global health programs that fight HIV and malaria, and cutting support altogether to fight diseases that affect only poorer countries, unquote. Health experts are aghast at the administration's absurd justification for the cuts, namely that Americans will not be safer. Clearly, diseases abroad can reach anywhere today, as COVID most recently showed. The U.S. no longer supports Palestinian statehood. U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee dropped a bombshell in an interview with Bloomberg News on June 10.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Support for KBOO comes from our members and from the Cowlitz Wind Music and Arts Festival in Longview, Washington on June 20th and 21st. The event includes live music, craft vendors, a youth art show, and food trucks. More info on Facebook at Cowlitz Wind Music and Arts Festival.
So, Nick, it's Pride Month. Happy Pride.
It's Pride Month.
It's Pride
Happy
Month.
Pride.
Woo. Yay. And we are two members of the Rainbow Umbrella, which is great. We are members of the LGBTQIA2S plus community.
2S plus.
That's right. We're 2S, we're extra, so you need to add the plus. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of folks are very familiar with the LGBT terminology to encompass the community. And in recent years, it's expanded to LGBTQ. And some folks will use the longer extension LGBTQIA. And now, 2S plus. So what is that little 2S plus at the end of there? Why is there a number involved? What is the S? What is the plus? Let's get into that. So the 2S stands for Two-Spirit. That's what I am. Nick, would you say that also describes you?
Sometimes. I mean, like, it's definitely, and we could go on about this in a bit, but it's definitely a feeling that I do align myself with at times, and other times I'm just like, you know, it's difficult. And I only say it's difficult because I don't know if you felt this in your own journey about self-discovery, but, like, it's not easy to quantify in English or, like, really put it into words in ways that you feel proper about it. This is how I feel. It's just like, yes, we have gender fluidity, and love is a spectrum, gender is a spectrum. A lot of it is just, you know, a sliding scale in some way. And with me and my own self, it's definitely felt appropriate to keep that. But I've also been so vehemently against identifying myself just in any manner. It's been a joke between some friends because I never talk about my own sexuality often, just because I don't think here I am going on my high horse. It's just because I feel like this is something that often only really needs to be said between myself and whoever I'm interested in. It's like, those are the only people that really need to know, you know? And yeah, in regard to labeling myself as two-spirit, it's been, like I said, it's just been hard to quantify that in English and trying to understand it proper, because my own tribe and everybody who I've talked to about it, they've been very Christian about it, to say it very lightly. And I think it has really warped that idea, and that I've just been like, yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's something where, and this is how I define it, is being two-spirit is you don't necessarily embody one gender or the other, and it's not necessarily a third gender in a way for me, and that I don't go out trying to express one gender more than the other, you know, and that it could be on the right side of one gender to the left side of another, but sometimes it's smack dab in the middle, and it's just how I feel. And that if you've perceived me as more feminine or more masculine one day, that's on you, because I know who I am, and that's how I take it, you know?
Yeah, I can completely understand that. I think you've touched on some things that are really good pinpoints for, like, I guess describing the two-spirit identity and the many ways it can manifest, right? So as far as like labels go, they added the Q, because Q stands for queer, and queers, we're gonna say the word umbrella a lot, but that's the best way, it's an umbrella term. So with the umbrella term, you have the broad word queer, and many identities exist underneath that umbrella. And queer, I always have just used queer at this point. For years, I didn't define it. I literally joked, I'm just not picky. Like, I never said I never said it out loud until I was like 24. Yeah, until about 24, I started using the term bisexual. And it never sat right. You know, it never sat right with me. It felt too, I don't know, it just felt off. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel like it fully encompassed and described like who I am. And I started asking my community about like, oh, I've heard about this two-spirit thing. Like, what's that about? And getting mixed answers. Yes, a lot of our communities are very, very Christian. My own tribe included is deeply, deeply Catholic. And so it's very hard. And it's hard to like hear that. It's hard to know and learn that you aren't really going to be that accepted in your own community, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, of course, that's the remnants of the boarding school era of genocide, of indoctrination. And so it's really hard that your community has been brainwashed into thinking that you are unworthy of being a member of the community, when back in the day it was the exact opposite. Two-spirit people were able to exist just how they were, that you didn't need to necessarily label it. The term two-spirit came about because we're in a world English, like English language, you need to label things. And in a lot of native languages, it isn't like stem, bud, flower. I don't know. I'm trying to, it's hard to even explain in English, but like a lot of the words kind of describe more of a, I don't know, like a feeling and like a broader description. I can't explain it totally, but it's kind of also like how there's those really stereotypical, like in movies and stuff like that, you know, there's a dancing wolf or like, you know, he who walks on water, like stuff like that. Like it's more of a descriptor in like a broad sense. Whereas like just this one word and only just with this one word and this only means this. It's really, like I said, it's really hard to explain in English, but I guess for lack of a better term, it's very binary, which is funny because our communities have had the gender binary forced on us as well for centuries. So for me, like, I never felt like a boy or a girl. I always just had the label girl put on me and I just kind of rolled with it. Never really got into the stereotypical like gender markers of a girl. Didn't like, you know, dresses. I mean, it's a standard, right? Like the standard tomboy to queer pipeline. But you know, but as I got older and you know, talking to folks about Two-Spirit, it was always mixed. It was, oh, that's what a gay person is, oh, that's what a transgender person is, you know. And finally getting to learn more about it in a broader sense and like directly from Two-Spirit people, I was asking a lot of straight people, and those were the kind of definitions, and it became clear, like, even in our own communities, that identity isn't fully fleshed out or known. You know of it, but you don't really know what it is, right? And you don't interact with it in your day-to-day life, so you just have no clue. Like, yeah, there's this term, I think it's like gay people or something, you know, I think it's like what we call transgender people, I don't know, something like that, you know. So for me, when I learned about it, and like when I learned about it and the history of it and started to do presentations on it and starting to talk about my experiences, but also talking about the impacts of our community, both from colonization and before times, of gender expression, you know, Two-Spirit is a cultural identity. It is a cultural role. That's why we don't describe non-native persons as Two-Spirit. That's not what that's for. Two-Spirit is specifically a cultural term for Indigenous people only to use. Period. Like, that's it. It's only for Indigenous people to use as a cultural term. It is not, if you have high cheekbones, you're Two-Spirit. You know, it's not how we overall describe all gay people, all trans people, all queer people. It is one of the terms that we can use. And for me, it manifests, because this identity, you know, we used to have roles. We were caregivers, we were negotiators, we were medicine people, we were artists, you know, we had our own very specific roles. And with that, in some communities, we had a very unique perspective, an understanding, because we were not and again, English is very limiting, but in English terms, right, we were not a part of the gender binary of masculine and feminine. We were something that was a combination of the two, and that was recognized, and we were able to kind of see between the lines of what these dynamics were and have a unique opinion about it. And that was respected in a lot of communities. It was respected. It was you know, part of the beauty of having someone like that in your community. Great. They're expressing the way they want to, and it's really cool to have that. They have a very unique perspective of it because they see between masculine and feminine. And so for me, I use it as a gender identity, and as a sexuality, because it encompasses everything to me. It is all wrapped in one. My being is, I don't like chopping up pieces of me, where, okay, my sexuality is bisexuality, but then now bisexuality is problematic, apparently, because it's only one or the other, and then we have to use pansexual. Well, pansexual is a whole other thing, but it still encompasses, like, all these terms get kind of mixed up. And so it was like, okay, well, I'm and every now and again, when you don't feel like doing this whole explanation, I don't have to bust out my PowerPoint. I'm too tired to bust out a PowerPoint and go into a 20-minute explanation of what I am. I always say, well, to use English terms, I would be, you know, by English definition, it would be bisexual and non-binary, or like pansexual and non-binary. But like, none of those things fit for me. None of those things fit for me. But sometimes it's the only way people can kind of understand it, is in those limited terms. So Two-Spirit can really be encompassing. There are gay people who identify as Two-Spirit, and, you know, they are cisgender. They, you know, identify with, in clinical terms, identify with the sex they were assigned at birth. They see themselves as a man. They see themselves as gay. They still use the term Two-Spirit. It's a very flexible term. And it is also a term that is part of the trans umbrella, because it can encompass so much. It can cover sexual orientation. It can cover gender identity, because, like I said, those things are entwined into one. It's who I am as a whole person, not compartmentalizing bits and pieces of me that are separate. It feels binary. I keep saying binary as a non-binary person, but that's what it is. It feels very binary. It feels very separate, as opposed to embracing you as a whole. And so I like to use Two-Spirit, just all encompassing. I don't feel like a boy. I don't feel like a girl. I often get treated and put into, still all my life, put into that package of girl. And strictly, and I've literally been told this to my face multiple times, they know that I go by they, them pronouns. They know that I identify as non-binary. They know that I'm queer. However, they keep tripping up on the pronouns. They keep tripping up on all of that stuff, because, like, oh, I'm sorry, it's just that you have long hair, so you look like a girl. And that drives me insane. It drives me insane, because it's a Western gender trope. If you have long hair and your face looks a little softer, well, then you're a girl. And I've talked about this before with friends and stuff. It's like, I'm kind of damned if I do, damned if I don't, because I have my hair long for cultural reasons, and I've had this hair like this my entire life. And even if I presented more masculine, I would still have long hair, because as Indigenous people, we just have long hair. That's just how that works. So either way, if I'm trying to present as more masculine, I'm still going to be profiled as a girl because I have long hair and because my face is a little softer. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. But that seems to be the main thing, is, oh, well, you have long hair. And again, it's like, okay, well, the only option, it feels like, with that kind of thing is like, well, I have to cut my hair short. I have to cut my hair short and try to look more like a boy so people don't think I'm a girl, even though I'm not a boy either. That's kind of what I mean by like the binary. You either have to go really hard in the opposite direction, because in between is like not something easily achievable to everybody. Sometimes you got good genetics and you can be in between, but it doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't work for me. I don't want to cut off my hair, especially historically, you know, why we've had to cut our hair. I don't want to get a pixie cut. I don't want to have short hair just so people can recognize me as something other than a woman. It's incredibly frustrating. So all of this to say, Two-Spirit is under the trans umbrella because It is a gender fluidity, and sometimes they use gender fluid. That's what I'm saying. It's like there's all these different terms, and it all just encompasses into one word. It's a type of gender fluidity. It can also be gender binary. It can also be non-gender related. It can be sexual orientation related. Like all these things, it's how you feel as an Indigenous person who is a member of this group. And some folks use the term. Some folks use indigiqueer. I've heard that term before. Some folks just use the standard gay, bi, lesbian, queer, whatever. It's really up to the person on how they want to identify with it. But yeah, so we're talking about like our experiences as Two-Spirit people. And sometimes, you know, I know Nick doesn't, I mean, you kind of don't really use the term, but I mean, at the same time, you know, in describing as an indigenous people, the term Two-Spirit, like trying to use that when talking about this is kind of the standard. I'm trying not to like pull up my PowerPoint on this. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of been my experience being a Two-Spirit person, especially in a very white city. And yeah, just trying to like find that balance of like what best describes me. And I completely get with Nick, like what you were saying too, of like, it's not really anyone's business except for like the person that I'm like connected with. I don't know. Do you feel like there's like a lot of pressure within like mainstream culture to have to define things like that and to have to be more open about things like that in like a uncomfortable way, I guess is like the term. You know what I mean? Like you feel like the pressure to have to express it like that?
I could say yes. Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's just been something that has been, and I think it's just like the out and proud kind of saying and motto of being a part of Pride and everything, which I'm not saying don't be out and proud. What I'm saying is just that it's sometimes to a degree where it's like, in my case, I feel this is one of those edge cases where I'm just like, I'm not, I mean, yeah, it's me and myself and whomever, and the joke is within my own group of friends is, and it's not necessarily a joke, but like how I identify myself is like, oh, I'm Nick and I like who I like. And if I like you, you're going to be, you'll know. Hopefully I get the courage to tell you. but the one thing, and I would just want to backpedal a little bit, is that there's a lot of ways we do identify ourselves with different words. And I agree. But the one word you won't hear us identify as is burdash. Do not use that term. That is a white man who is an anthropologist who made up that word. And that is my PSA. Don't use that word.
Agreed. It is a very antiquated term that was created by white people. It is a derogatory term, so it comes from, its origins are French, and the rough translation is like young boy prostitute or something like that, like young male concubine kind of situation, because when they came here, their understanding of these types of relationships was looked upon with disgust and seen as unnatural, so they use this description to portray it as this unnatural, grotesque, barbaric act that these savages are doing. So you may see, if you are doing research, if you're reading books, anything like that, you may see that term burdash in there. Don't use it. Stick with Two-Spirit. If you look at any other more modern interviews with with people, any of the, you know, more modern books and things, it has been Two-Spirit. Two-Spirit has, you know, it was also created to replace that derogatory term. So don't use it. You may see it in books. Don't say it. It's a slur. It's incredibly racist. That's a good point, Nick, as well. And I think, like anything with identifying in a community, right? That's just a part of me, though. Yes, I'm queer, but I'm also Indigenous, but I'm also, you know, a gigantic nerd, but I'm also a parent to a cat. You know, I'm also a radio host. I'm also, you know, a sibling, a child who has a parent, all these things. Like, it's just one aspect of me, and to hyper-focus on that doesn't feel right. I am, like you said, I'm Nick. I'm Jack. I'm just me. And, yeah, all we really want to do, like, like, the majority of the message coming from our community is, like, we just want to be able to exist. We just want the right to exist and be who we are. It's really that simple. But, unfortunately, the oppressors don't want it to be that simple. They want to categorize you and eliminate not just the pieces of you that they don't like. Sometimes they want to just wipe your existence off the face of the earth. And that has happened. Genocide has happened in this country and continues to happen. Genocide is a tool that is used to remove entire populations, entire people, because they don't like some aspect of you, because they see you as lesser because of X, Y, and Z. And to feel that righteousness, to claim that you are unworthy of something, you are unworthy of your land, you are unworthy of being a part of, you're unworthy of just being here, you're unworthy of existing, your existence is inconvenient. It's inconvenient because we need this land. It's inconvenient because we're trying to establish this one thing, but you're in the way. So we're going to sweep you out of the way. You didn't come to an empty land. There were people here. You don't just go somewhere and say, oh yeah, this was all wasteland. And then we came and we, you know, made flowers bloom. We built houses. We created a civilization from nothing. That's not true. That's not how any of this works. There are people who were here before you. There are people who have established lives, made flowers bloom, all of those things before you set foot on this land. And to claim it and say, well, there was nothing here, to completely erase that existence is barbaric and is genocide, culturally, physically, all of these things. And in many aspects, being a queer person, being an indigenous person, just your own identity, here in America, across the ocean, it happens everywhere, and we just want to exist. We just, like, people just want to exist, and it's so frustrating. I don't even know what my point with that. It's just, like, it's just really incredibly frustrating. Currently, we're having our rights taken away. Indigenous people's rights have been, I mean, the entire system is built to make sure that we die out, you know. But on top of that, now queer rights are being slashed, trans rights are being slashed. We are being murdered. Jonathan Joss was murdered in front of his husband. And we see the ramifications of that. Indigenous people are murdered constantly, and Indigenous queer people go missing and are murdered, and there is no justice. We want justice. We want to be able to exist. So, always remember, the first Pride was a riot. Yes, we can celebrate, but we also need to remember that the battle's not over. It didn't end with marriage equality. It didn't end with Democrats in office. It didn't end with corporate sponsorships for Pride parades. It is so not over yet. And you need to be able to fight. The first Pride was a riot. The first Pride was an uprising against the oppression we're still facing to this day and we're facing then. You need to be able to get up and shout in the face of oppression. You need to be able to get up and stand and defend yourself and defend your community. It's not all rainbow balloons and bar crawls. You need to get up and fight. That would be my Pride message. Nick, do you have a Pride message for the listeners out there?
No, I think you said everything that should be said, and I agree wholeheartedly with a lot of your points. It's always going to be a battle we have yet to conclude, especially in this time of current Candace presidency, and that, yeah, just be sure to look out for one another, because if we aren't going to, it's not like our government will.
Exactly. So, with that, thank you for listening. We're going to have some queer indigenous artists coming up. We have some music for you. Once again, happy Pride. Fight the system. Don't give up. Make community. I don't know. Keep fighting. You are wonderful as you are. Keep fighting. Stay tuned for some music. Nick, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Happy Pride. was No Evil by Shawnee Kish. Stay tuned, we have more Two Spirit music coming for you. You're listening to 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland.
For the trans baddies worldwide, yeah, I'm T4T. That beauty is so divine, no why. Yeah, I'm T4T. They ask me for my pronouns on my MB frequency. Too many questions, too many questions. Can y'all just leave me be? My existence is not for your curiosity. My persistence is hot. I carry rocks on me. I spit the prophecy. I promise me. Got a lot to be, truth and honesty, no notion of this property. This song is a safe space, this song's gonna say gay, this song's gonna make way, cause I maintain when I change names. This song is a gateway, ocean flow like make waves. Trans people, we need a payday, my people, yeah, we need a mayday. Are you so quick to judge us? Chosen family, got plenty of cousins. Stop asking trans people about transitioning. I mean cisgender people just to shut up. Stop trying to act like you understand me. Gender knowledge coming out the Andes. Sweet energizing like coca candy. Wadi gadi wad me, yeah, I'm ambi. This song's for the trans baddies worldwide. Yeah, I'm T4T. That beauty is so divine, oh why. Yeah, I'm T4T. They ask me for my pronouns, oh my. MB frequency. Too many questions, too many questions. Can y'all just leave me be? Two Spirit, that's for First Nations. See all the drip on my shirts, native. Wearing a dress and my skirt sacred. My culture is hot, it's not worth hating. Love, that's my favorite kind of love and hate. Excuse me, hun, you're making me start humming. T4T, what? He's a baker, I'm a muffin. Any sweet, sweet stuff, any hater that's done with. I'm not a gender bender, I'm a transgender woman. So strong, make you start sweating. You're offended, cause my presence getting way more recognition using ancient methods. This song's for the trans baddie worldwide. Yeah, I'm T4T. That beauty is so divine, oh why. Yeah, I'm T4T.
Yeah.
That was Two Spirit by Tony Enos, and before that, T4T by Bobby Sanchez. Stay tuned, we have more music coming at you.
Thank you. see that look like sheep. I need to live so I can breathe. Tears of language, I speak well, better than my own alone. Without her, where do they?
That was Ancestors Too Young by Jeremy Dutcher, and before that, Indians Never Die by Black Belt Eagle Scout. We're to end the night with Raven by Marka Cassidy. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more wonderful programming from KBOO Portland.
She takes me between the two worlds. She's got magic in her dark wings, and in her heart lies the blue pearl. I am hungry, and I've got some honey, and it feels good in my mouth. But mama needs some loving and communion, but I'm left hanging too far south. So I breathe in the air, invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire. Breathe in the air, invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire. It's okay that it turned out this way, 'cause I can always use time for myself. Time to develop self-love as a habit, 'cause you sure can't get that from no one else. So I hang out with my diseases, I can cure them good as Jesus, when I find my own true self. Well, that makes people nervous, but I do it nonetheless, 'cause I think it's what we came here for. We came to breathe in the air, invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire. Breathe in the air, invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire. Sometimes I feel like the devil. Sometimes I am free. Sometimes I am bound. And I have been recruited, and I've been persecuted, and it just seems to keep coming around. Yes, but I am not afraid of the man today, 'cause he revealed himself in a past life interaction we had. Make no mistake, he burned me at the stake, but it did not hurt that bad, because I breathed in the air, and I invoked the water, and I honored the earth, and I burned in the fire. I breathed in the air, I invoked the water, I honored the earth, and I burned in the fire. Breathe in the air, invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire. Breathe in the air, invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire. I am craving, flying with a raven, 'cause she takes me between the two. She's got magic in her dark wings, and in her heart lies the blue pearl.
say KBOO Portland, Full Strength Community Radio. This is Kabaka Pyramid representing from Kingston, Jamaica. Baby Rock family, you don't know.
Camp KBOO is